The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Jesus entered Jerusalem for the last time to celebrate the Passover festival. Hear Jesus' words about seeds planted in the ground turn the disaster of his death into the promise of a harvest in which everyone will be gathered. I begin reading at verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. I need all of you to stand close so that you can see what's happening. Let's let the little ones come up here in front. Come here, Palin. Here you come. Good deal. Okay, stand here by me. Can you see? Okay, I have a question for you. Do you know what this is? Do you have any idea? What is it, Lane? How'd you know that?
My dad has a bigger one.
Oh, okay, you got it. Yes, this is a magnet. Now, what is a magnet supposed to do?
Stick on the metal. Stick to metal.
That's right. So do you think it's going to pick up this piece of candy?
No.
This button?
No, it's a wooden button.
Okay, this toothpick? Oh, how about this needle?
Yes.
It sure did. What about this needle?
Yes.
Oh, I got two of them. That's a strong magnet, isn't it? How about the pen?
Yes.
You think so? You are absolutely right. Magnets have something very, very special inside, a special metal that only metal will stick to. Well, I have something else. What is this?
A cross.
A cross.
But it won't stick.
It's not metal. No, but it looks like metal, yes. This is a cross. And in our gospel reading today, the very last verse said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself." The cross is like a magnet for people. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to spread out. And we're going to make the cross our magnet. When I hold it up, I want you to come and touch it. Ready? touch it. It's a magnet. Jesus said he was going to draw all people unto himself. Okay, now there's something else. I'm going to ask you to remember every time you see a cross. Jesus, when he was on the cross, his arms were spread out and he was actually saying, come to me. While ago, I held my hands out. And what did Allie do? What did you do, Allie? You came to me and gave me a great big hug. That's exactly what Jesus is doing. He's hanging on the cross, giving us that great big hug. I'm going to hold the cross up, and I want you to pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to save us. Thank you for being on that cross and letting the cross remind me that you are a big magnet loving us and calling us to your own. Amen. Now, the bell players are going to play for us in the cross of Christ thy glory. Would you go get your bells, and the rest of you can go to your seats.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A mother's son was going off to college for the first time, and the mother was concerned. And so she wrote a letter to the college president, and this is what she said in the letter. Dear sir, my son has been accepted for admission to your college, and soon he will be leaving me. I am writing to ask that you give your personal attention to the selection of his roommate. I want to be sure that his roommate is the kind of person who does not use foul language or tell off-color jokes, smoke, drink, or chase after girls. I hope you will understand why I am appealing to you directly. You see, this is the first time my son will be away from home, except for his 3 years in the Marines. Sometimes it's just hard to let go. You know, parents have raised their children. The children have been there for 18 or 20 years, and it's time for them to leave, and it's just hard to let go. And I think that's part of our nature is we want to be in control. We want to be in charge of things. Jesus, here in our gospel lesson today, is, I think, letting his disciples know, it's time now to let me go. He has entered Jerusalem for the final time to celebrate the Passover feast. And he knows what is about to happen. And he lets his disciples know that soon he will no longer be with them. And they need to need to know to let them go. And so he explains all this through that parable. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, if it does that, then it bears much fruit. It grows again. It raises up and bears much fruit. If it doesn't go down into the ground, it can't be planted, and things don't happen. So Jesus is telling his disciples, or letting them know about his death, that this is God's will for him to go to that cross, to bring that plan of salvation that God has in store for this world. But the disciples don't necessarily take this all that well, or they don't seem to understand what Jesus is talking about. If you remember that story when Jesus first tells them that he must go into Jerusalem and that he must suffer many things, that he will die and be raised again, his disciples don't understand. And they say, Jesus, we'll never let this happen to you. And you remember what Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. It's very easy to think we know better than God does. We have a better plan than God does. But when we take control, when we don't let go and let God's will be done, terrible things happen to us. And that's where the evil comes into this world, is when we want to take charge, and that taking charge is in front of doing God's will. If you stop and think about it, breaking the Ten Commandments always comes back to this one thing, that we have another God, and that God is myself. God, I know better for myself than you do. I have better things to do on a Sunday than come to worship. I want something that my neighbor has, and I will get it any way that I can. Any of the Ten Commandments come back to this one thing, that we have another God, and that is myself. I want to be in control. I want to be in charge. I want to take care of things. And when we do that, bad things do happen. Like the man who says, oh, just one more drink. And then he climbs in behind the wheel of his car, and it results in fatalities. Or the husband and the wife say, I know what's best for this marriage. And they both try to control it, and you're going to have an unhappy marriage. Or the strife within families. When children say, I want to be in control, parents say, I want to be in control. Everybody wants to be in control for themselves. Bad things happen. We live in a troubled world. Evil starts to take place. Bad things happen to us because of the decisions we make when we go against God's will. Bad things happen to us when other people make their own decisions that go against God's will. But there's also other things that seem to be out of everybody's control, such as earthquakes, tornadoes, droughts, floods, fires, disease, illness. We don't seem to have any control over those things. But a lot of those things, if you've heard the term before, is called acts of God. And I think that is not a very good label. Rather, I would rather call that acts of evil. Because God wants life. God is the one who brought life into this world. God is the one who has a plan of salvation to bring life back into this world. God is the one who has given us the promise of eternal life. God does not want death. Death does not come from God. Tragedy does not come from God, but we live in a troubled world. We have let that trouble into this world. We no longer live in the Garden of Eden. We are a fallen humanity. Bad things do happen to us. Bad things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. Good things sometimes happen to bad people. Good things happen to good people as well. We live in a troubled world. We live in a world in which evil is present, and it comes into our lives. And it's evil that calls us, you make your own plans. Don't listen to God. Do what you want to do. Do what you think is right. If Follow your own plan of action. And that's where trouble comes in. But even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of evil, even in the midst of tragedy that we seem as if we have no control over, God is still able to work. God is still to bring, is still able to bring about His own will. Even in the midst of the most terrible evil or tragedies and torments. I just look at that cross. Look at all the events of bad things, of evil things that happened in that event of the cross. One of His own, His disciple, betrays Him. Another one of His own, His disciple, denies Him. And all the rest just simply scatter. Jesus is unlawfully arrested. He's put on trial among rigged jurists. There are witnesses who lie against Him. All these evil things are taking place. He is unjustly condemned. People beat on Him just for the fun of it. And He is condemned to die for committing no crime. All these acts of evil take place going to that cross. But even in the midst of all of that, God is able to work His will because Jesus is willing to follow that will of God. Jesus does die on the cross. And He is dead. He's buried. And then on the third day, He rises again. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it doesn't bear much fruit. Jesus has risen, and He brings that salvation to all people. For us too, we are simply called to follow that will of God, to let go. To let go of our own desires, of our own wants and needs, to try to gain control or power or lust or that need for possessions. God simply says, let go, follow me. Or here in our gospel lesson this morning, it's Jesus puts it this way: those who love their life lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. We're called to follow Christ. We're called to serve Christ. We are called to let go of the things of this world. These things don't matter. In the end, they don't matter. The things of this world don't matter. But following Christ, following that will of God, does matter. Now, it's not always easy for us to follow God's will. Or sometimes we may not even know what God's will is. Or we don't have a clear understanding of what God's will is. But again, if we think about what Jesus says here, those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Think about that when you're not sure about God's will. Am I doing this for my own wants and my own needs? Or am I doing this to serve God? Am I doing this to help my neighbor? God honors those who follow Him. God's will be done no matter what we do. But yet, we are still called to be faithful. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.